Hej och välkomna allesammans till ännu ett avsnitt av Nick Sörna. Jag lovade två avsnitt den här helgen och så blir det två avsnitt precis som förra. Och med mig har jag en ny gäst. En gäst som ni, de flesta känner igen. Och en gäst jag ville ta in för att eftersom jag pratade med Ludde Håkansson förra veckan om hans camp, så tycker jag också det är bra att lyfta fram Elliot som har ett otroligt spännande projekt med en camp i slutet av maj som är otroligt mycket större än vad jag trodde det skulle vara. Så vi kommer prata lite om hans säsong, men mest fokusera på campen och vad idén är där. Så so, Elliot, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you, thanks for having me.
What are you doing? I mean, your season ended, what was it, 1 month ago. What you doing nowadays?
I've just been training a lot, just been in the gym a lot, and I've got some downtime to like go home, see my family and friends, so I'm doing that also.
So you're going to have a big camp. I mean, it's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. Where you going to have a all-star game for young players, and you're even going to have one of the leading individual dribbling coaches coming with you to Stockholm. How does that feel for you?
It feels great. Being able to like give back and just giving the kids in Sweden the same experiences that I got just feels really great. And yeah, I'm bringing some of my coaches that I worked out with since I was younger out there to train them.
Okay, before we go into more depth about the camp that's gonna be in Stockholm, right? You're gonna be most of the time in Fryshuset, am I right?
Yeah.
All right, before we go to that, I just want to talk with you a little bit about basketball and your season. So you just finished your first season in North Carolina, a season where your team had really good moments. I think you guys won at one moment. Was it 12 games in a row or something like that? I can't really remember. But can you give us your opinion about your first season at a big school that North Carolina is?
I think it was a great season. It was a lot of fun. We ended up getting the one seed in the tournament. We won the ACC, so we accomplished some of our goals. Our biggest goal was to win the tournament, and we fell short, but I still feel like we had a successful season.
Yeah, so I watched your games. You know, I haven't been watching college basketball for a lot of years, actually, because I didn't like the direction the game was going in. But this season, because you played and Pelle Larsson played, and there were a lot of interesting Swedish guys, both on men's and women's side, I actually watched more than ever, to be honest. And I saw you start the season at the bench, first three games, I think. And then you guys played so much better with you on the floor that you eventually earned your spot as a starting player. Can you tell me a little bit more about the whole journey? Because obviously you come to a school that has huge expectations, one of the best schools ever. And how did it feel in the end when you earned your spot as a starting point guard?
Yeah, it was a big adjustment coming in, especially a year earlier than I was supposed to. And yeah, there was like a lot of older guys on my team, so I didn't really have a spot. I had to earn the spot. And I ended up earning it, and it was just like really fun being able to be a starter, being able to like do the handshakes, walk out, do the handshakes, and just start. Yeah.
I watched you play when you played with the youth national team, and I watched you play. Obviously some Peach Jam games and a couple of games you played in high school. And in my opinion, when I watched you, I think the biggest progress you made was your defense, because I felt your defense wasn't really that good, if I'm going to be honest, before. But then yeah. I saw you do a great job this season. I would have actually say that you are a good on-ball defender, super aggressive. And even when you guys switched, I think you did a hell of a job of just fronting the big guys. And when you switch, just boxing out and, you know, all the small stuff. How did that come, yeah. Elliot? Was it something that you said to yourself, okay, this season I'm going to improve as a defender? Or was it coaches telling you, okay, if you want to be on the floor, you have to play this type of defense? What was it that made you into a better defender?
Yeah, it was definitely the coaches. I didn't realize when I came to college, I didn't realize how big, like how important defense was. And I got here, the coaches definitely showed me. They definitely pushed me every practice to be better on defense. And I think that's the reason why I've gotten a lot better, because my coaches held me accountable all year.
Your on-ball defense was sometimes even too aggressive. You had games when you had foul problems, but most of the time, I think it got better the more the season went. And you're just a pesky defender right now. Does it take away from your like stamina? Because I know when I wasn't a good player, but when I played and really wanted to put pressure on defense, sometimes it took away from the offense. You know, did you feel like you had the conditioning to do the both, or was it an adjustment, or was it just a normal change of something you did on the floor?
I think I had the conditioning to do both. But also coming into this next year, I think I also want to improve on my conditioning. I want to be better, even better. So that's one thing I'm focusing on right now. And yeah, I think I just had the energy and the conditioning to play hard on defense and offense.
You guys are getting a lot of players back. I mean, RJ Davis, for people who don't follow college basketball, is a great scorer. He's a really great scorer on that level. Ian Jackson, people say that he has a really bright future. You guys are going to have a really, really better team and probably more expectations. Because the season before you came there, North Carolina was supposed to win it all, and they just had a terrible season. But last season, people didn't have really the same expectations, and you guys played better than expectations. How do you feel about next year and what your team can achieve?
I think we'll have a very good team. We'll be very talented, very athletic. And I don't know about like any of the expectations. I don't know about all that. But I have sort of like a standard for myself and for the team, and I think that we should be able to win the ACC again this year.
So you feel like you guys can win ACC and go even longer in the tournament?
Yes. Yeah.
How does it look for the big guys? Because I know Baycott, he's not coming back, right?
No.
How does it look, the front court? Are you getting in some new players, exciting players, or are you going to build on the team that played last year?
Yeah, I think we're recruiting more bigs, but right now we have a really talented center, Jalen Washington, and I think he'll surprise a lot of people this year because he's really good.
Elliot, you mentioned that you conditioning is something that you're working on. What other aspects of your game you want to improve before the next season?
Definitely my shooting. That's definitely something I want to improve on, and I want to be a better defender. I felt like my defense improved a lot, but some games they would literally have to take me out the game at the end of the game on defense. Like, they would have to take me out. So that's something I never want to happen again. So I'm going to definitely be working on my defense too.
I remember you watching you play with the youth national team. I remember the European Championship you guys won, that in the beginning of the tournament, you were struggling with your shot, but you still had rhythm because you were putting them up. And the longer the tournament went, your percentages just got better and better. And I think you ended up shooting around 40%. Would you say that you are kind of a rhythm type of shooter, or you know what I'm trying to say, that you like need to get them up so you can get comfortable, or do you feel like you can be that guy that just shoots one or two per game, but you can knock him down?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely more of a rhythm guy. I think I just need to shoot more. I felt like this year in the beginning of the season is like I missed a couple, and then I got in my head and I really stopped shooting. So I think this year I can't do that, and I just got to stay in rhythm and keep shooting.
Yeah, that's a great answer, because that's what I feel too. Like, you just need to put him up, because you are a solid shooter, and you have good mechanics and all of that. So Yeah, just put them up. You know that better than me, of course. Yeah. I have to ask you this. There are people that still think you might play under 20 championship with the Swedish national team. Are you gonna play or not?
Oh no, I would never. I won't be playing any more youth stuff. Okay. So yeah. If I play for the team, it would be the men's team.
Okay. Have you followed the European qualifications? They played two games. Do you know how it went? Did you watch the games?
No, I actually haven't. I haven't been watching.
Okay, yeah, it's probably tough to get the signal from United States. All right, your experience with the Swedish national team. You played those two games against Germany and Estonia, and you even had a couple of practices before that. How would you say your experience with the Swedish national team has helped you as a player?
It was great. It was really fun, and I learned a lot. The coaches are very good, and yeah, I think it helped me. Like, I got a lot better in my development. Once I came back from Sweden and back to America to play, I don't know what happened. It was kind of like it flipped the switch for me. Like, I came back, like, very, like, a lot better. Like, I was playing out of my mind. I got back, and we won national championship.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. But the funny thing is, like, basketball, when you play with national team and the type of basketball that you play in the United States, sometimes it still feels like two different sports because of the rules and how referees are refereeing. Because I'll never forget when you were playing against Estonia and, like, you got called for travel. And I've seen you do that gazillion times in USA. They never called it. How is that adjustment, knowing that, like, you play two different sports?
Yeah, it's a big adjustment. I think, yeah, that game I traveled like three times, and I was just doing what I normally do, like just ripping the ball through,
yep,
and dribbling, yep, and they're calling it every time. So it's a big adjustment. Like, not even just the rules, it's like the play style too is a big adjustment.
Yeah. So last question about college. What I've noticed this season, I told you I haven't been really watching. I used to watch college basketball, but what I noticed is this NIL, or what do you call it, NIL thing that's gets the players to make some money has changed the sport of college basketball drastically, because now you have dudes that are like 24, 25 you're playing against. It used to be, the best players are one and done, two and done, and like, most of the guys play 4 years and then they go and work, because they want to make money. But now there's so many veterans. I know you've been playing there for 1 year, but can you just feel like, oh shit, these players are really mature. They're fucking 25 years old. It's hard to play against them.
It's definitely different. Like, I had guys on my team that were 24, 25, and that's definitely changed. Like, that hasn't been really a thing, like, in the past years, but it's definitely different, like, having a lot of, like, older guys on your team playing against a lot of older guys. And I just feel like it's more challenging. I just feel like it's, at the end of the day, it's better for me. I'm playing against older, stronger guys, and it's just getting me more ready for the next level.
Yeah, before we go to the whole thing with your camp, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Elliot. I think you are probably, I'm not even joking here, you're probably the most famous player we've ever had when it comes to youth. Like, I would think that you are even more known when it comes to Swedish youth, even more than Jeff Taylor and Jonas Jerebko, because, they just know who you are. They follow you on social media and they really look up to you. Are you aware of how big of a name you are when it comes to Swedish youth basketball?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty aware. That's kind of the reason why me and my mom are trying to just do a lot of stuff out there. That's the reason why we're coming out there, because I see how much, like, influence I could have on the kids out there, and I want to do that for Sweden.
Yeah, so the camp. There's going to be a camp. I actually didn't really know about it until 5 days ago. But from what I've seen, it looks really promising and big. Like, you're going to do a lot of stuff. So there's going to be 18th and 19th of May. There's going to be all future games, both for boys and girls. And kind of not really an all-star game, but coaches are going to be able to, how do you say, nominate. No, you don't say nominate. They're going to be able to put their players' names in the bracket, and some players are going to get chosen to play in this game. How did you come up with that idea? And can you explain more about the concept of that game?
Yeah, me and my mom wanted to go out there and just create an event to like let the kids have fun playing basketball. And I don't know too much about like all-star games out there, but I know that's not really like a big thing out there in Sweden. Like, there's not a lot of them. So I just want to come out there and just show love to the kids and give them something fun to do. Kind of like a McDonald's All-American game for Sweden. And that's kind of my vision for it. That's how I want it to be in a couple years. And, yeah, we just had the coaches kind of pick the kids. We just want the most talented kids out there in that area to come out and compete.
Is crowd going to be allowed to watch that game? Like, can people just come and watch?
I think so. I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah. There definitely should be a crowd.
Okay, allowed. So I like that you're saying that you wanted to become something like McDonald's All-American, because people in Sweden don't know what that is. It's kind of a committee selecting 24 best senior players in high school, and then they play against each other, and it's a big thing.
Yeah.
I really like the ambition. It's going to be played at Frisuset, so everybody that's listening, if you want to go and watch, you can do it. I think it's already too late to send in applications for your players. But what's not too late to send in application is 23rd of May. You guys are going to have a ball handling clinic. And I think that this is the best part of it, if I'm going to be honest with you. From 6:30 to 8:30. And every player that's older than 10 years old, right? From fourth grade until 15 years of age or 16. I think it's from 10 to 16. Can come. They can put. What's the website? Where can they send the? Because from what I've heard, there's still spots open for that ball handling clinic. How can kids that are listening to this? What can they do to get a spot in there?
They could just go on my Instagram page, and I'm gonna have a link. I'm gonna have a link to go sign up. So just check out my Instagram page, and you'll definitely see it. It's up there.
Okay, so Delson, from what I've heard, is one of the best ball handling coaches in the world. So I think this is an amazing opportunity for young players to just learn something new from a coach that has done it on a high level. How were you able to get him to come with you and do this, Elliot?
Delson is one of the coaches like I'm really close to. So we were just brainstorming ideas how to come out here in Sweden and how to get the kids better. And we reached out to Delson. He said he was down to come. So, yeah, that's how we got him.
It's interesting because, you know, ball handling is something I think we're not working on enough in Sweden. While in the United States, I know you guys are really early. You start really early just working on the technique or whatever, trying to get to become as good of a ball handler as you can be. What do you think that, I mean, you can't go in there and after 2 hours become the best ball handler in the world, obviously. But what can kids learn during these 2 hours? What do you think, Elliot? What can they get bring with them afterwards?
I feel like ball handling is something that's like really easy to work on. Like, you don't need a court, you don't need a hoop. All you need is just a basketball and like some concrete. So we're going to show them like a lot of drills they could do, and they could just pretty much take that home and just do it whenever they want to. And yeah, we're just going to try to teach them as much as we can. Like, yeah, we're just going to give pointers and show them like a couple of drills they could do at home for sure.
24th to 26th of May, you're moving to another gym. The basketball team is called VB. People that follow Swedish basketball know what the team is, and it's going to be in their gym. And that there you're going to have a camp that's closed now because it's there's no spots open for that one. But it's going to be for girls and boys from born from 2010 to 2005, I think, that want to play in the States. And you're going to have American coaches with you. Can you tell us more about that concept and how did you come up with that idea?
You're talking about the camp, right?
Yeah, the camp that's from 24th to 26th of May.
Yeah, it's just something that I've been doing out here. Like I started doing it, I think last year. I've done camps in New Jersey, and I'm doing another camp out here in North Carolina. And that was just something we wanted to bring to Sweden. It's a camp. Like, it's pretty much all day, and the kids are gonna come out, do some like train with me, like do a lot of drill stations, and at the end of the day, they're going to like play against each other. So it's just going to be a really fun day for all of them.
And then that's not at all. During the summer, I think your mom told me it's in July. You're going to come with a team here and just work out a player. Am I correct? Or is it a different concept?
Yeah, it's different. So we're going to take a couple of kids that want to play in America. We're gonna take the kids from Sweden and bring them to America to play in the live period. So
okay, it's not from States to Sweden, it's from Sweden to State. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have a team out here called Team Cadeau, and it's gonna be all Swedish kids, and they're gonna be able to play against like the best competition out here, kind of experience what I experienced. And
is that AAU basketball?
Yeah, it's an AAU team.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be during the live period, so there'll be college coaches watching.
Oh, damn, that's huge. That's actually huge. How are you going to choose player for your team? What's the criteria?
My mom has been working on all that stuff, like choosing the kids, and it's pretty much whoever just signs up, and we're going to be able to see the kids. I'm going to be able to see the kids at my camp when I come out, so I'm gonna be able to see how like talented they are and how good they are. And yeah, we're just gonna bring them out to America in July.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Can you tell people that listen that don't know what AAU basketball is and the whole concept? Can you tell them what that is? Because we don't have something like that in Europe. It doesn't work like that. What's AAU basketball?
So there's two different, basically, leagues. Like, there's high school basketball, and then when school is over in the summer, there's AAU basketball. So there's three circuits. There's the Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, and you can play for pretty much any brand you want. There's some teams that aren't connected to the brands, and it's just like really big, really popular. Every NBA player, literally everybody, plays AAU basketball. So
so that's actually going to be a great opportunity for these Swedish players, and probably kind of bit of a shock in the beginning, because AAU basketball, you know this better than me, it's it can be brutal. Players are trying to prove themselves, and it's just hard-nosed basketball. Everybody's make the name for themselves. If you could give advice to those guys or girls that are going to go there, what should they think going into these games?
I just think that they should just play as hard as they can. Coaches, I know that college coaches and pretty much everybody just likes winners. So I think they should be just focused on winning games. Like, nobody cares about teams that are really bad. So I just think that they should come with the mindset of winning. If they're in the finals of a tournament, they'll get a lot more looks than if they're playing good on a really bad team.
Yeah, because I think it's easy for young players to think, okay, I need to think about my stats now. Now I'm going to play United States and I need to get my numbers. But your advice is just to do the small stuff, the winning stuff. I know it sounds cliche and cringy, but yeah, it sounds reasonable. It sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
So I also heard that you're gonna, together with Federation, I think you're gonna visit some teams, or like now in May, or did I interpret that wrong? Are you gonna do that, or did you just hear wrong?
You said visit teams?
Yeah, or clubs or something like that. No, nothing like that.
Oh no. Okay. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Okay. Bobby Klintman and Pelle Larsson, have you been watching their seasons in like this pre-draft process? Do you follow what they do? Do you stay in touch with them?
I stay in touch with Bobby, but Pelle not really. And yeah, I've been keeping up with the stuff they're doing, and yeah, I've just been watching, supporting.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult for you to know like what the Swedish basketball history is, and we've had very few NBA players, but what do you think that this new generation of those two guys and you, and there's a lot of pretty good players around your age, maybe a couple of years older or younger, how does it feel that you know that, you know, people in Swedish basketball are banking on you guys, you know, to lift Swedish basketball? Or do you feel like that's kind of a pressure, or do you don't feel like that?
Yeah, I don't feel any pressure for it. I just think it's just great to have basically a whole country just behind you, supporting you. And I think the future of Swedish basketball is definitely going to be like really good. Like me, Bobby, and Pelle on one team, I think could do a lot of damage.
Yeah, so I figure you envision yourself playing for the Swedish national team in the future together with those guys, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the thing. Everybody that follows basketball in Sweden, like, they're really scared because, you know, we had the huge problems. Like, three best Swedish players ever played together for, like, 40 games. That's it. Not even that. Like, we had Jonas playing like 40 games, Jeff Taylor played like 8, and that's it. Marcus Ericsson played like 10. So people are really scared, but I'm actually really hopeful that you guys are going to play more games together, because I see you. I mean, I could see it when you guys played that under 18 Baltic tournament, when you play with Bobby and Ville Berry and all of those guys. Yeah. Like, you have a real camaraderie, and it looks really promising and hopeful. You know, Elliot, I noticed that I said something really weird in English. Did I say do you don't? I'm just losing it right now. I think, you know, I know you're in a hurry. You're in a hurry, and I'm starting to lose it. So I think it's a good time now to cut it off. Is there something else you want to say to people that are listening before this camp? Do you want to, you know, leave a final words?
Not really. I just want to say, like, whoever could come out to the game, come watch, should definitely come out. It'll be a lot of fun, and yeah.
So the first, those All-Star games, people can come and watch. It's free, Suset. It's for, I don't know if you guys gonna take you're gonna take the entrance money or not, but people can come there. People can also watch the drill, right? So the day you're doing the ball handling drills, they can come out and watch that too, right?
Yeah, they can.
And they can come and watch that camp that's in the VB Hallen, right?
Yeah, so everything is open to the public, so whoever wants to come watch can definitely do that. They definitely should.
Okay, Elliot, I just want to say thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. I know that you and your mom are really open and transparent and want to keep contact with Swedish media, and I want to say that I really appreciate it. Thank you for doing this, and see you in May. I might come and watch, but if I don't, I'm just saying thank you for doing this, and it's awesome.
All right, thank you too. I appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.